Hello and welcome to the inaugural podcast of Voices from the Road. This is Tom Kirk from Road Tested Living, and I'm being joined here today with my good friend Linda Caffey, and we're just going to have some talk, a little bit of a conversation today about some of the things that we're doing upcoming at the MATS Truck Show this year. It's going to be March 26th through the 28th down in Louisville, Kentucky. Hope you all will be able to join us. We're going to talk about some of the events that are going on there and just some things about health that interest us as well. And hope you enjoy our conversation today. Thank you for joining me, Linda.
Thanks for inviting me, Tom.
Hey, and you're welcome. You know, on the fairly short list of people I had, I knew that if I didn't invite you, you'd smack me when I saw you at MATS. So it was a pleasure, though. It really was. What was that, Linda?
I am not that violent.
Okay, you're right. You'd have Henry and Jeff do it. But
there you go.
But no, seriously, the two of us are good friends. We get along real well. But anyway, so what all are you and Team RunSmart doing this year down in MATS, Linda?
Well, with Team RunSmart?
Well, in terms of health or just in general.
Oh, so Team RunSmart, we're having the hospitality trailer. It's going to be in the Papa John's parking lot. And behind that trailer will be parked Henry Albert's truck and trailer. He'll be talking about how to get fuel mileage, showing what he has done to his trailer to help him, and the aerodynamic aspects of the Cascadia Evolution. Right beside him, we'll be parked with our straight truck. And one of the things that people like to see is our custom sleeper. Also, all of the equipment that we carry to handle freight. We do a lot of inside pickup and deliveries. What we do is we solve problems. But the highlight of seeing our truck is that we have 12 hidden Mickeys in our sleeper. And so it's always kind of fun to look through and see if you can find them.
I know I didn't get a chance to see your sleeper, and I saw the outside of the truck down in Gats, but I didn't get a chance to see the inside, though I've seen quite a few of the pictures, and I've been noticing that Bob's getting ready for MATS, because it seems like every time you guys are stopped for more than a few hours, he's out there either polishing your lift gate or the side rails or something on the truck, so you can tell he's getting ready for it.
Yeah, you know, he's been spending a lot of time on that. And the other thing he does is he likes to letter our tires. And, you know, sometimes he gets harassed for doing all this. But, you know, one of the things that happens is when he is maintaining and polishing, he's always looking underneath our truck to see if there's any lines that are chafing, anything that is going wrong that he can catch before it actually happens while we're out on the road under a load.
And that's good. And the other thing, though, too, is because we talked about this a few times, that really is Bob's exercise when you get right down to it, because he's just so busy lifting and moving and everything else. The few times I've met him, I've always been struck by, you know, for a truck driver, what kind of good shape he's in. And when you listen to him, he doesn't really do any specific exercises per se. He's just busy maintaining the truck.
You know, he does that. You know, and it actually is, you know, it's great exercise for his muscles, too. But, you know, the other thing Bob's really good about is when we stop for a half-hour break, he'll walk around the truck. He just did a blog about how many times around a straight truck is a mile. Many of the loads that we haul, you cannot get away from the truck when we park. So he has to stay within 25 foot. And he is often seen out there doing laps around the truck on that half-hour break, but when we're stopped, he's cleaning and polishing.
Well, that definitely keeps him busy and gives you time to get your stuff done inside the truck. And I know one of the big projects that you've been working on the last year is this cookbook. And we're just going to take a real short break here. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about that. And we're back. Thank you, Linda. Now, you and I met... Maybe a little background is probably a good place to start. About a year ago on one of Bob Perry's Rolling Strong conference calls, and we got talking and discovered we both have a passion for cooking, and we met actually almost a year ago exactly at the MATS Truck Show, and for the first time and talked, and you were kind of interested in what I was doing in cooking and health, and you and a few other people found out that I was thinking about doing a cookbook and encouraged me, and gave me some information, and we started what started off as we've often called our dream project, and now you and I often refer to on almost every call our nightmare. But why don't you tell everybody a little bit about this cookbook we've been working on?
Well, you're right. When we met, we found out that we had a lot of common interests, and one of them was healthy cooking. And while I have, at this time, a little bit bigger, you know, custom sleeper compared to what you're doing, I also started cooking in an OEM sleeper. So spent a lot of time trying to stay healthy while we're out here, and the easiest way to do it is to actually cook within the truck. And when we started talking about different recipes, we realized, through talking with other people, that they don't even have a clue on how to get started. And in reality, it's very easy to start with some microwave meals. And once you start with microwave meals, you start branching out a little bit more, and pretty soon you can do a full course meal in one pot.
You really can. And you and I, you know, I kind of experiment a lot with different types of ways to cook, and in the last year, I think I've tried just about everything but the rice cooker and the Ninja, at least as far as the most common devices you can find on the truck. What is your favorite device to cook in and why?
Well, I've been using a rice cooker for many, many years. I started out in a crock pot, and the thing that I did not like about the crock pot is the smell and how long it took to cook. And when Bob was driving solo and I was just riding with him, that was fine. Neither one of us were trying to sleep. But once we started driving team, it was difficult to sleep in a small sleeper with the smell of food cooking. And it's a very strong smell sometimes. And so I moved into the rice cooker. It fits me. I like stuff done fast. I don't have a lot of patience. And the rice cooker can boil water and nothing flat. And so as I started using the rice cooker, I realized that it's not only good for making rice, it's good for boiling water. I have fried hamburgers in it. I have made a ham and potato casserole. So there's very few things I've found it will not do. The one thing that was an epic fail is it does not make grilled cheese sandwiches. So that did not work. And the other thing is I don't like to make rice in it. The rice where, you know, you cook it for the 20 minutes or what it was designed for. And the reason I don't like to use it for rice is I had an accident in it one time where I didn't use enough water or I used too much water. And through the little air vent, there was these plops of rice water coming out. And, you know, I realized quickly why rice water can be used as glue, because I spent hours trying to clean up that mess, and I have never made that kind of rice in a rice cooker before. If I make rice, it's in the boiling bag.
Now, do you think it was because you were using instant rice or one of the other kinds of rice, or just because you didn't put in enough water, or do you even know?
No, it was the long cooking rice that's designed for that rice cooker. You know, it takes 15 to 20 minutes to make that rice, and I followed the recipe wrong. And but in a truck... And in that truck, I did not have a lot of water, you know, available water. And it was really frustrating trying to clean up that mess. So at home, I use it the way it's designed to. In the truck, I do not.
That makes sense. And now getting back to this cookbook, I know I probably should go back and count exactly how many recipes of ours are in it, but I know you and I contributed quite a few. Some other people from Team Run Smart did, as well as ATBS and other people from the industry. Do you have a favorite recipe that's in that cookbook?
You know, probably the one that I like to make the most in the wintertime is my ham and beans recipe, or just ham and vegetables. It's a dish I really enjoy making, and I enjoy the freedom you can have with it. You can make that with anything you have in your cupboards, and it turns out great. So I think, you know, to me, you can do a lot with beans. And it's funny, I like all kinds of beans but black beans. So you will find if any recipe calls for black beans, I'm going to take them out, and I'll usually substitute pinto beans. But, you know, like you said on the cookbook, going back to that, we were sharing our ideas, and one of the girls that's worked for ATBS and Team Run Smart kind of picked up on what we were saying, and she was like, you know, we can do this. And actually her prodding is what really, really made us get serious about it becoming a reality. And, you know, it's going to be introduced at MATS, at least in the digital form. And it's hard to believe that we've accomplished so much in a year, to tell you the truth.
It really is. And for a little bit more history on it, this cookbook, we've had three very, very patient and kind editors from ATBS. Linda and I have joked a couple times. It seems like we keep breaking them. Two of them have moved on to other positions and that are better in line with their talents. So I want to give a special thanks to Heather, Beth, and Sean for all their hard work on this, because without them, Linda and I, we figured if we got this done in 3 years on our own, we'd be happy. And particularly with the pushing of Beth, we had the bulk of our work done, I want to say, in 3 months. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that does sound about right. And you know what I liked about Beth is she actually has a degree. Or much experience in culinary arts, and she could tweak our recipes a little bit to make them healthier. Or she you know, what she added to the book is very easy recipes that we can do within the truck. So I really admire her ability to take a recipe and change it.
She did, and this is probably a good opportunity to tell people the basics about how they can get this. For the digital version, we're going to have instructions at the ATBS booth over there as part of the Freightliner booth. Linda and I are going to be out there throughout the course of the MATS event talking to different people about cooking and being healthy on the truck. I also know I'm spending some time at the Rolling Strong booth and a few other booths as well. And you can find out my schedule at roadtestedliving.com. Linda, have they even told you where you're going to be yet?
Well, right now I believe we'll be working from sun up to way past sundown. We are, a few of the Team Run Smart members are going to open up the hospitality trailer over at Papa John's before people head over to the show. Then during the daytime, we can be found at the Freightliner booth that is with ATBS, and also the trucker trainer will be there. And some of the other events I'll be attending is Women in Trucking Salute to Women Drivers on Saturday. On Friday, there's a Trucker Buddy meeting that I will be at. And after the show closes, we will be back over at the Papa John's parking lot in the hospitality trailer, welcoming people back from the show and showing them a little bit about how we make money on the road and keep it in our own pocketbooks. So we enjoy talking to owner-operators and drivers about ways to live while you're away from home, or, just all different kinds of tips. It's funny. We have people on that on Team Run Smart that are from all areas of trucking, and there's a lot of knowledge there that you can tap into.
There really is. We're just going to take a short break here and come back in just a minute and talk a little bit more about what's going on there, because you just said a couple of things that I kind of want to get on a side conversation here in just a second. And we're back. Thank you, Linda, once again, for staying with me here. To finish up, a couple of things that when you were just talking about the cookbook is the one thing, one of my favorite recipes in there is actually inspired by Bob Perry, the trucker trainer, who will be over in the Freightliner booth demonstrating the fit system, and as well as some new stuff that they're going to be doing there, the fit stepper and a few other things at the MATS show, is he talks about how you can use tuna and other things and make it healthy on the truck. And he for years has been telling me about this tuna salad that he makes with spaghetti sauce or marinara sauce. And I'm sure Linda had the same look on my face when I first heard that from Bob, which was somewhere between horror and disbelief, and going, that just sounded horrific. And one day I had a little bit of tuna on the truck. I had some leftover spaghetti sauce. So I said, you know what? I'm going to try it. So I tried it, and I was actually surprised it was pretty good. And then I started thinking, well, what can I do to step this up a notch? Because one thing Linda and I both like is we're never satisfied with a basic recipe. We always have to make it a little bit fancier, a little bit more, a little bit more gourmet, a little bit more something to what it just doesn't seem like it came off your truck. So I came up with the idea of making it a Mediterranean influence with some feta and some various other ingredients, some olives, and I made it. Everyone who's tried that has been really impressed. They really didn't realize it was made with spaghetti sauce as a base. They thought I used some dried tomatoes or something fancy. And when they looked at how healthy it was surprised. They were surprised. But the one thing when I shared Linda with the recipe, she's like, well, Bob and I are going gluten-free, so we're going to change from the wrap to something else. And we don't really like feta, so we're going to change something else. And something we realized right away, these recipes, virtually every recipe in this cookbook, if you don't have an ingredient, if you don't like an ingredient, don't worry about it. Change it. Substitute it. These are really not recipes. They're just suggestions to get you started in thinking of ways to do things.
Well, I can agree with you more on that, Tom. I look at any recipe as a suggestion. I very seldom follow a recipe completely because I'll add what we really like. And if a recipe has something in it that I don't like, but I like the recipe overall, I'll leave that out. You know, it's not set in stone that you follow a recipe exactly. And, you know, one of the things I like about this cookbook is all of the different ways we talk about how to cook a meal within the truck. You know, at home we basically use our oven, our stove, and our microwave. You know, in the truck there's probably 10 different ways to cook one recipe and using different products.
Well, I know your stuffed pumpkin recipe, you do it in a microwave, and for those who aren't aware of it, I made a huge step back in November. I got rid of the microwave off my truck. My microwave was getting older. It wasn't as reliable anymore. And I just said, and it was taking up room. I only pretty much used it for popcorn and to reheat a few things. I said, you know, I'm going to get rid of it. And when I saw your pumpkin recipe, we were talking about ways to make it. I said, you know, I bet you I can make that in my crock pot. And you're like, well, how can you do it? I said, well, let me experiment. I discovered by putting a little water in the bottom, wrapping the bottom of the pumpkin or the squash in some foil and putting a couple foil snakes in the bottom so it doesn't get direct heat. You know, it turned out, I won't say perfectly, but from, you know, what we've discussed, it probably turned out close to yours. Of course, yours was better, Linda. But, you know, it's one of those things is that we just realize that, you know, all these devices cook very similarly, and you may have to make a little adaption, but you just have to stop and think for a second. You know, the lunchbox ovens, you remember at the beginning of the year how much I said I'd never use one of those RoPro Stove-to-Go's. And Jeff Clark finally gave me a challenge when he said, have you ever used one? I'm like, no. He says, well, then why are you complaining about it? And I opened my mouth a couple of times, and the next day I went out and used some of my points and bought one. And that's become one of my favorite things on the truck, particularly if it's just me or maybe a friend, because I can cook everything in it from a basic dessert I do in the oven at home to a meatloaf. And it cooks it not maybe quite as fast as my oven at home, but it's not a lot slower either, depending on what I'm making. So I actually was very surprised about it. You know, it's not as fast as your rice cooker, Linda, but compared to the crock pot, it is definitely faster.
You know, you said something really interesting in there, Tom, that I think is true of truck drivers, is when you had your tinfoil snakes in the bottom of your crock pot. And the one thing that I have found about truck drivers is that we're all very innovative. You know, you give them a challenge, and they're going to figure out a way to make it work. And I think about all the different challenges you have within the truck. You can't just run down to the store and purchase different things off and on. You have to look at what you have and make it do. And to me, one of the most fascinating things about drivers is how innovative we are.
It really is. And there's one thing I've discovered, particularly with Team Run Smart Pros and the rest of our friends from the Trucking Solutions Group, and really drivers in general. You want to get something done, tell us we can't do it.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that one in a second, because that actually leads into a really good story. But there's one thing I want to back up on a little bit is, when you and I have talked a lot this last few weeks about our views on home, and kind of one of the things that you and I have both discussed is, yes, we have homes or houses that we consider homes that we go home to, but when we're out on the road, whether it's for a few days or weeks at a time, our truck is our home. We treat it like our home. We live in it like it's our home. And I think that's the one thing I know you and I have both said, because we look at it as home, it just feels like home to us. We enjoy it. But, when we're going home, we don't get us wrong. We enjoy our home time. We like being home. But I think it changes some of our perspective, too, when we're out on the road and how we look at some things.
Yeah, I agree. And, one of the things that I like to do is I make our truck comfortable. And I've always done that from every truck we've been in is, make it our home away from home. We're gone, 2 to 3 months, and it's a couple times it's been longer. And I want to be comfortable while we're on the road. I want to enjoy our time. I don't want to keep living for the day we go home. I want to enjoy where we are and what we're doing every day from the time I wake up till I go to bed. And so to me, we have the best of both worlds. We get to travel. We get to see the country. We get paid to see the country. And then we can go home, relax, chill for a little while. And then it's not very long before our gypsy blood gets back into us and we're ready to go somewhere again.
I know exactly what you mean. And now in my case, compared to you and Bob, I don't travel as comfortably. And I put a little different focus on what I do is because compared to a lot of truck drivers, I'll admit, I do not travel light. But I'm also one of the few people I know who's equipped to handle a snowstorm in June in the Northwest, because I keep long johns on my truck year-round. I carry tools with me, and I'm a company driver. A lot of people look at me and goes, why do you carry all that stuff with you? And I goes, well, it came in handy today, didn't it? And they kind of give me that look and go, well, yeah, you got a point. So, I'm kind of like that Boy Scout model of being prepared, but, to me, I kind of rank my comfort a little differently, which is if I'm at some place, I want to make sure I have what I need to be able to enjoy that situation or that area to the best of my ability. So, you have to kind of define what's comfortable for you. I've seen a few people who have decorated the inside of their trucks where it almost looks like the interior of a hunting lodge, complete to the deer antlers hanging off the top bunk. And it looks very attractive. It's very nice. It's not exactly my style, but I'm more concerned if I was going down the road or something happened in a severe windstorm, what would happen if that deer antler came flying in my general direction? But, they found something that works for them and that they love, and that to me is really what it is. It's just taking this lifestyle and figuring out how to make the most of it.
You brought up that safety point because we have a Vitamix mixer in the truck, and it's very heavy. And I used to keep it on the counter because it wouldn't move. And I got to thinking about that one day of what would happen if that thing came flying through the air. The accident might not kill you, but the Vitamix would take your head off. And I started looking around and thinking about what was secure. And really, that was the only thing I didn't have that was secure. And sometimes I look at people's trucks and how they have them decorated, which is nice. But they haven't taken the one extra step just to make sure it's not going to move if there is something strange that happens. And our safety is our number one concern while we're out here. And God forbid we are in an accident. But the last thing we want is something that's within our truck be the thing that hurts us.
Exactly. And I remember a story of a driver at the company I work for. He was in an accident, and it was a pretty severe one. And he would have walked away except for one minor detail. He has the nickname Chili Head. The reason he got that nickname is a can of chili either came out of a cabinet or wherever he had it stored, flew through the air and conked him in the back of the head and raised a welt. If it hadn't been for that, he would have literally gotten out of the severe accident completely unscathed. So, needless to say, if you ever meet a driver by the name of Chili Head, you can pretty much guess what happened.
That's a good story.
It really is. But it does remind you. And actually, this brings back to another point is Linda, I know you and Bob carry one thing on your truck you've been talking about quite a bit lately, which is a carbon monoxide detector. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We've always carried a carbon monoxide carbon monoxide detector in our truck, and it also detects smoke, which I will say my toaster sets it off every single time I use it. But we run a generator, and we are also parked near trucks that run generators, and we have found, you know, that a lot of times that exhaust is right where your sleeper is, where the head of your sleeper is. And we like to have our windows open. As most truck drivers, we sleep very soundly. And we very often wake up with the same neighbors beside us. We were there when we went to bed. And so our chances of sleeping through, you know, another truck pulling in, turning on their generator, or even the exhaust from their truck, getting inside and us not knowing it. So we've had one 15 years now. We've carried one with us, and it's just another way to stay safe.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people say that you can't get carbon monoxide poisoning off a diesel exhaust. One of my former trainees, when I used to train for a while, he actually did get carbon monoxide poisoning, and the CO detector that his wife got him actually went off, albeit he was fairly well into it, but it alerted him enough to what was going on. He was going through the mountains of West Virginia, I believe on 68, and, you know, he spent a couple days in the hospital getting treated for it because there was a major exhaust leak. I was pouring it right into the truck. And about 2 years ago, I had a similar experience from a turbo leak. So, yes, it is possible. Is it likely compared to a car or some other devices? Maybe not. But, you know, for the little bit of paranoia, particularly about that one driver who unfortunately did not wake up one morning here from carbon monoxide poisoning from a generator that he was using, it's just that little bit of extra security. It's just that little extra thing you can do to try to keep you safe on the road.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, even thinking about that is how often are people pulling campers parked next to you? The exhaust doesn't have to come from a truck. It could be anything else that's parked next to you. And then, like you said, if you're going down the road and you develop a exhaust leak, you know, the last thing I want to do is poison myself.
Exactly. And that's one of the lessons I've actually kind of appreciated with talking to you and your husband, Bob. Bob, for those of you who don't know, was, and I guess still is, a diesel mechanic. So a lot of these things that a lot of us say can't happen or whatever, Bob pretty much has a story that can prove to you, well, it's not likely, but here's how it can happen because it did. And that's something I've kind of picked up, but it's also kind of a nice thing. And you know I've done this a couple of times going, Linda, my truck's acting weird. Can you ask Bob what this means? So it's nice having that extra resource.
Yeah, you are exactly right. Both of us are definitely believe in preventive maintenance. Preventive maintenance is what keeps us, I think, profitable. So we both just go along that whole way, inside and out. So it kind of works well together.
Well, and I think that's one thing people have to stop and think is a carbon monoxide cost, let's say $20. Well, you spend $20, hopefully you'll never, ever have to use it. But if you do have to use it, $20 is a lot cheaper than a hospital bill or worse.
Well, and, you know, the saying goes in trucking, if the wheels aren't moving, you're not making money. So not only are you not making money, but you're going to have an astronomical hospital bill. Even if your insurance picks it up, you probably have a great deductible. So, and, you know, it takes a while to recover from that. So it's not like you're going to bounce back and be as good as new.
I know when I had that problem, I was fortunate. I was going home for some home time. But I noticed for the next 2 to 3 weeks, even that weekend, activities that normally I would have done with no problem, I went to a Renaissance fair the first time that weekend, and I had a lot of fun. But by the end of the day, I was so exhausted that I just couldn't figure out why. And I'm getting ready to go back in the truck Monday morning, and they're talking about what they found, the exhaust leak. And I just looked at my friend who had taken me to the Renaissance fair, and we looked at each other, and we went, duh, carbon monoxide poisoning. And we never put the connection together until then, and it was just I really realized how lucky that I was, and so that's definitely something that I do think every driver should have. This I think is a good point to take another real quick break, and in this break we're going to talk about a little bit about an upcoming event that's coming up, a couple more, and then I'll let you go because I know you have other things to do, Linda, but I appreciate your time so far.
Okay.
And we're back again, and I know there's another couple big events, at least to you and me, that are coming up. That hopefully will help encourage drivers to get healthy, or to realize it's not as difficult as we sometimes think. And the first one's going to be Thursday night, and it's the Trucking Solutions Group Health Walk.
Yeah, it's going to start at the Papa John's parking lot. It's March 26th. It's the starting point will be at the Owida stage. It's right across from the TA Petro shower trailer. And we will meet at 6:30, start walking at 7, and it's a destination walk. And a lot of people don't realize that Churchill Downs is very close to the convention center. So we'll walk down there. It'll be on sidewalks. There's a couple streets we have to cross that have traffic lights. And then walk over there, give you a chance to look around a little bit. The gift shop will be closed, but there is still a lot you can see. And then we'll walk back. It's not quite a mile and a half, and it's not a speed walk. All it is a walk to show you how easy it is to get a mile and a half in a day. It usually takes us half an hour to do the walk part. It takes a little bit longer because we're going to stop and get one picture or a couple pictures while we're at Churchill Downs and give you a chance to look around. But I think within an hour we'll be back easily.
I would say I hope we'll be back within an hour, but the other thing is, too, if you notice that the pace is a little fast for you, there should be various Trucking Solution Groups members there either wearing Trucking Solutions Group shirts or some kind of an odd hat. And if you see one of those doing that and you think we're going too fast, just let us know and we can, somebody will be more than happy to slow down the pace and walk with you so you've got somebody to walk with you. But it's not a race, and most of all, we just want you to be comfortable. But, I mean, the other thing is you never know who you're going to meet on this walk. Jeff Clark, who's also a Team Run Smart member, he talks about, I think it was last year or the year before, he had two very interesting walking partners. On one side, Van Farrow, the former head of the FMCSA. The other side is Todd Spencer from Owida. That would have been a very interesting conversation, in my opinion, to be anywhere near Jeff with those two people walking together. We've had various people from the TA Petro and other major companies there walking along, and so you never know, that person you're talking to next to you might be a president or a vice president, and he may hear some of these comments you're having to say and take them to heart, and next thing you know, you may see a change because you never realized in the way somebody does business, because you never realize that the person next to you is the person who can actually make that decision. So it's kind of an interesting experience and a way to get out and meet other people in the industry. And you may also discover that the person you're walking next to is the person that's parked next to you in the parking lot who you never would have gotten a chance to meet. So it really can be a fun experience.
Yeah, I think every walk has been memorable. We always hope for good weather. We've had walks at Matt's where we were in T-shirts and shorts and it was hot, and we've also had walks at Matt's where we had on our winter coats and it was icing. So you never know, so come prepared to Matt's for any kind of weather.
And the thing is, you may experience all three of those weather conditions over the 3 days. So it's Louisville. Anything's possible. But the next thing is Linda and I, we're going to be, I don't know if running is the right word because neither Linda and I run, But we're going to be hustling back on the walk from when we get down to the Churchill Downs, because at 8:30, and I'm blaming this idea on you, Linda, though it's a good one. Linda came up with the idea that we should try and get everybody together who cooks in the truck, whether it is from one of the cooking groups like Big Truck Cooking, Road Cooking, Cooking on the Truck, et cetera, and just people who want to learn about cooking or do cook on the truck, or exchange ideas in ways that we can cook and have some fun with it. So, Linda, since this is more or less your idea, why don't you tell them about the rest of what we're going to try to do with this meeting?
Well, we're going to do it right after the health walk, which I think is just a very good time. We're going to meet at the Freightliner Hospitality trailer, and the trailer is going to be easy to find. It's going to be right there by the shuttle pickup and right down the main thoroughfare. And the trailer is neat. It has a front porch on it, and it should have the deck up on top. So we're going to meet there. We can either meet inside if the weather's bad or outside if the weather's good. And the whole idea is to have this, as Tom's calling it, the summit. And there's so many different great groups out there that talk about how they are cooking. And it'd be, for people that are new or people that want different ideas, this would be a great opportunity for all of us to get together and share our own specialty and be able to promote each other's sites, you know, of ideas of how easy it is to cook. And for somebody that's new, to give them all of these places that they could go to and learn more about how to easily cook in the truck. You know, one of the biggest concerns about cooking is how do you do cleanup? You know, and each one of these people have ideas on easy cleanup. And so one of those ideas might fit for your situation. Well, it's just an idea to share information and use each other. I'm a firm believer in networking. We learn a lot more by networking instead of doing it by ourselves. So I think it'll be fun. It's going to be fun putting faces to the people we've seen on Facebook.
It definitely will. And then the other thing, though, that you and I have talked about, I think it's really important to emphasize, this summit or meeting, it's not about who's cooking right. It's not about who's cooking wrong. It's not about that this style of healthy cooking is better or using a ninja is better or anything like that. It's just to share ideas, because something that I'm a firm believer of is there's a lot of people out there who are drivers that are realizing they have to make some changes in their lifestyle, but they're not quite sure where to start. They're not sure how to do it. And really that first step on how to do some of this stuff is just getting some information, getting a little bit of education, then making the changes. But even if you do nothing more than heat up a can of soup in a Road Pro stove to go or some other type of device, that's making a start, because you can pick the healthier soup choices. You know, you can bring stuff from home to reheat in a bunch of different ways. And that's the other thing to kind of keep in mind too is even if you don't cook on the truck in a traditional sense, if you fix food at home and just reheat it on the truck, you're more than welcome, because you may give an idea on how to reheat something that never did. Your friend Terry's a good example, is the way she heats soup up in her lunchbox stove. I never would have thought of that. I've heard of people doing it, but she showed me how she did it one day. I'm going, oh, that's just so much easier than how I've been doing it. And my way wasn't that hard. It was a little bit more involved. And it's just sometimes it's taking something that you just overlooked as the obvious and takes somebody to show you a new way to do it. The other thing is in some of the cooking group discussions we get involved in that I've been involved online, we'll start debating the merits of some of these different cleaning wipes as far as which one's the safest in terms of killing bacteria and for food handling purposes later. So you can get some really good information, and it's really interesting because sometimes some of these people have backgrounds in the sciences, in laboratory testing, working with food, or in restaurants. So you'll be surprised sometimes the information you get and can come away with from something like this. But it's not about who's right. It's not about promoting one particular way over it. It's just about showing that, hey, this can be done on a truck, and how do we get more people to do it?
You know, that's a great point. And that is sure what I had in mind, too, was it's not saying who's better or worse. It's an educational summit. You know, you know, there's not one company for everybody. There's not one way to do things for everybody. And you have to learn about all these different things and figure out what will work in your situation. And there is so many ways to do one thing. And I even look around our truck, and I look at different ways I have for storage, different ways I have to keep stuff from moving, and how much of what I learned from talking to other drivers that were willing to share their secrets with me on how they made their truck easier to use and better storage ideas than I had ever thought of. I am definitely not a brilliant person, and I'm not real creative. So I like to listen and learn, and I could point out all kinds of things and tell you who gave me that great idea that I use, you know, I use for storage. It's great. I mean, that's the way we learn, is networking.
It really is, and I've got two or three things that I've recently done for storage on my truck, and one or two I maybe can't tell you the specific person because it was just a picture I saw a while back, and I finally figured out a way that I could make it work on my truck. But I've got two or three things hanging in my truck now that I'm using for storage that's exactly like that. But that's the other thing, too, is if you've got pictures of how you organize or store things on the truck or of the cooking gadget or gizmo that you like, it could be anything from the Ninja oven to maybe a Vigetti, feel free to take pictures of it. You can email it to roadtestedliving@gmail.com. I'm going to be putting anything that I get on that. I'll have a section up soon on my webpage, roadtestedliving.com, where you can kind of go and look at the pictures that people sent in who got credit for it. Hopefully in the next several days there will be a Facebook page up talking a little bit about what we're doing for this. I know Linda and I haven't really talked about it, but if it goes well this year at Mass, we'd like to see this done each year at Mass and possibly at GATS as well. So it's just going to be a way to kind of exchange information and just a way, like Linda said, to network. So we definitely hope everyone can make it. It should be a lot of fun.
I think it will be a lot of fun. You get a bunch of people together that like to cook, and the talk is usually pretty lively.
It should be. And depending on how much time I have, I might even be persuaded to bring a batch of no-bake cookies one of the recipes that we came up with for the cookbook. So if you'd like to try one of the cookbook recipes, you know, just, you know, nudge me online or on Facebook to remind me to get over there a little early so I can make up a batch. It doesn't take very long, but I just have to remember to take the time to do it. Anything else you could, what was that, Linda?
I said that really sounds good.
It really does, and it's the infamous Bordentown pumpkin cookies that I came up with on the fly down there in Bordentown, New Jersey, during one of the Rolling Sprong health fairs. So it just goes to show, too, that when you start cooking and you realize you don't have the ingredients that you wanted to have because you either forgot to do the grocery store run or ran out, you can just look around your truck and come up with some really creative ideas to solve some problems that are a lot of fun. So, and surprisingly, they often work, too.
They do, and it can quite often change how you cook something. You know, one thing that reminds me is I like tostadas, and anybody that knows me knows that I could eat Mexican food three times a day, and one of my favorites was tostadas, and growing up, we always fried them. We fried the corn tortilla, and then we would place our toppings on it. Well, within the past year, I finally started experimenting, and in the truck, luckily, here I have a convection oven. And I started baking those tostada shells. And we no longer fry tostada shells at home or when I'm away from home. They're baked. And just little things like that can change how you've done something all of your life.
It really does. And actually, there's another driver who I know who actually does something very similar using her micro hearth and her microwave. You know, she discovered it by accident, and then that converted her. So there's a lot of things that you can do that are just really creative if you stop to think about it, that really do can make life a lot better on the road. Mm-hmm. And Linda, I know I promised you I'd only keep you about a half hour at most today, and we've went over. But in closing here real quick, is there any other projects or things coming up that you'd like to let drivers know about, either that you're doing or that you know that's going on?
Well, I'd like to, you know, remind everybody to stop by over to TeamRunSmart.com and see what all the pros are up to. I've got several cooking videos up there. Got ideas on team driving. You know, and also on expediting. If anybody's interested in expediting, I have different ways, you know, that I've talked about to get into expediting and what expediting really is. So I hope that everybody will stop by and see that. Upcoming projects, there's always something in the works. If we're sitting still, I'm always thinking of something going on. So, but let's share them later.
I agree, because I know there is another one or two big ones to do, but I have a feeling that'll be another whole call in and of itself. So, but I do appreciate your time, Linda. It really has been a lot of fun.
All right. Thank you, Tom.